So what do you get if you take a queue and then another queue and then like one more queue, and you put them into some sort of enclosure?
I have no idea.
Is it a Q family home?
No, it's
An
Q's.
alphabet?
No, it's Q's in a pod. I ran out of things to do.
So I'm Tom Quackenbush, the fantasy author. We have Amber Hawk, the farmer artist, who we are not calling a fartist, even though she keeps trying to push it. And we have Daniel Evans, who we're still studying is a secular occultist.
It's me.
It's me! Well, it's him.
Too bad
Yes.
you should do that professionally. Is that something you can do professionally?
It is, but as long as like especially in the state of New York, you just have to tack on for entertainment purposes only.
True.
I'm
Because
entertained.
unless you're a priest from, one of the Judeo-Christian religions, and then you can,
That's true.
stay whatever bullshit you want, not pay taxes and get money.
But do you know in what world secular occultist would be a valid job? A post-apocalyptic wasteland.
It's
True.
Like in the
It's
movie
true.
that we all saw the other day,
Ah, but
Mad
I.
Max Fury Road,
Fuck yeah! Which
Yay!
will be our topic for this podcast.
There weren't
Yes.
really any roads, though.
Where we're going, we don't need roads!
Except
There was just
Fury
desert
roads.
everywhere.
There was a road of rage
Yeah,
that went
true.
from one end of the map to the next.
And then back again.
With rage and fury.
So, spoilers!
Spoilers!
There's a lot of driving.
Haven't seen the movie? There's a lot of driving.
Yes,
I don't know if that's a spoiler. I think that's what you
no.
expect from a Mad Max
Well, I
movie.
mean, we're probably going to talk about
Oh
spoilers.
yes, no, there will be spoilers. Like,
Yeah.
go see it. Like, there's no reason.
Yeah. It's
Especially
pretty
out of
good.
the statistically small number of people listening to this. Like, you better have seen it.
Well, you know who didn't see it is men's right activists, who I know are a big portion of our audience.
It's probably true. Miladies.
Well, actually,
are you calling them men's right men's right activists,
I like
miladies?
activaces. Like, I
I
like
do.
the.
You
Activaces.
activaces.
Is that just like a Ming Dynasty vase with a fedora?
Maybe.
That, like a bunch of cock swastikas. I listen to Harmontown.
You steal from the best. Daniel,
Yeah.
I'm throwing this in your court. Why were men's right activists so annoyed by this movie?
Well, for one thing, there's like, there's a bunch of women, right? And you'd think that'd make them happy because tits everywhere,
There were
but
tits.
they're actually, well, yeah, sort of,
Yeah,
not
I
exactly
was
clean,
not.
but no.
Just, there was certainly a pregnant belly that you could see quite clearly through
Yeah,
white
but
clothes.
that doesn't usually turn dudes on
Okay.
because there's already a baby in there.
Well, let us consider, for my male gaze, when we first see the brides,
Yeah,
no, the sister wives, what do we want to call them
I
for
think
this?
they're collectively
They're.
called the wives. Like, that's just their,
Yeah. And to be honest, I didn't really catch their names. I didn't catch many people's names here. I basically know, like, Furiosa,
Yeah.
Max.
This is not a movie in which names are very important.
No, and I'm
It's
fine
all
with that.
deeds.
I looked at the IMDb, and someone's name is Rictus Erectus, which, didn't
Which
he die? Wasn't he in Gwar?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he
Although,
was in Gwar.
actually, come to think of it, though, I'm shocked that Gore weren't the ones on, like, the Bard wagon.
Yes.
That'd be
Like,
did
cool.
they not even ask them?
guess not.
Were they consulted for the movie?
No.
What should this guy? I don't even know what the guy, the bard. We'll just call him the bard.
The
The awesome mini game where you shoot flames out of your guitar
Yes.
and you sleep on it, your guitar like a hammock.
That was pretty good.
It
That was
was,
pretty good.
and I like the little touches in the movie like that.
Oh yeah, no, this movie, like straying away from the original bit of why MRAs are angry. Like, it does an amazing job of conveying everything you need to know about this world in like just tiny little shots, little details of like, oh yes, of course, this is exactly how their everyday is. Like they've done this 1,000 times, and when he gets to a stop, he just slings up his guitar and pops an umbrella, and that's business as
That's what you
normal.
do.
It's ridiculous that the MRAs don't like it. It is some high octane testosterone.
Yes.
You know, we've got The guy playing a guitar that shoots flames.
On a giant truck that is entirely made of speakers with, like, giant timpani drums in the back. That's its only purpose.
Yeah. It's just there to keep everyone really riled.
Pumped.
Jazzed up.
And the only issue seems to be that the main character is not really Mad Max.
Oh, yes, yes. Spoilers.
Yeah.
It's all ladies.
He's really the Nick Carraway of this movie.
Who's Nick Carraway?
That's...
uncultured swine, the Great Gatsby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I forgot almost everything about that after I finished having to read it.
Nick Carraway, American Dream. Yeah. Like, this was the Namibian Dream. It was filmed in Namibia. Which I just like saying.
but yes, like, so that seems to be their primary bit of contention. There are a lot of ladies in this film, and not once do they cry to each other or talk about boyfriends or anything other than their actual goals. They are, in fact, the main characters.
Yes.
Like, Mad Max didn't need to be there, really.
No.
And the cute boy, the Half-Life guy.
Oh, yeah.
He totally kissed the girl on the cheek for saving him.
He did, but even that was like, cute. Yeah. The movie has feels, which I'm sure they hate also, because it's not just like one mindless, you know, vapid hero fighting off hordes of, like, you know, threatening dark people. it's people living in a horrible world with conflicting goals, and one of them is, you know, not being a harem.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good reason not to talk about, you know, feels and boyfriends and kisses, because they've spent probably their entire lives either being kidnapped or raped by this warlord.
Yes. Yep. And not once do we really see any of them really, like, there's
and
no cowering. Like, they don't really fight, but almost all of the important things that need to get done are being done by these women. If it's not, you know, Furiosa, Charlize Theron's character, it's the other ones. Like, they're doing all the stuff that's kind of important. And Mad Max, like, he's there, he helps, but he fills the role that women tend to fill in most other movies. Like, in almost any other movie, there'd be the token female who'd only be there so that, you know, women couldn't complain that they had no representation. Like, it gives them, you know, oh, okay, I can identify with that one.
Yeah.
And in this case, that character is played by Max, who stumbles upon the main plot and you know, does help it along, but would not have been essential to it, like, in a lot of ways. Like, he does play along, he does end up, you know, contributing in some pivotal ways, but it's never, like... You know, he's not the savior necessarily.
No. He just, at
best, guides them periodically at situations where they might have figured it out themselves.
But he isn't quite the magical Negro, right?
No, he's not that either.
Which is a literary term. I'm not a racist.
Yes, we can discuss that more, because that was one thing this movie didn't actually have either. And if there can be one complaint, maybe not enough dark people, but that's such a standard complaint at this point that you just kind of...
I know it's probably has to do with the genre of it, but I think, too many of the characters were, like, obvious stereotypical, like, trope characters. Not trope characters. Like, the bad guys were all, like, capitalist, literally fat pigs.
Actually, that's true. That's true.
And the girls are, like, the harem group.
Right,
which they did behave fairly well for it, but it's sometimes they're like, "Aw, it was so nice there. Why did we want to leave?"
No, there was, but really, that was just the one, I think that was a valid emotional response. You know, somebody who was really important to you dying, and who was also like important to your goal.
I agree with that, but it's still like a stock character type.
True. Well, but that's just getting to, like, the nature of stories in general.
Yeah.
Like,
that was my only problem with it, is that so many of the characters are, like, stock character types.
Well, interesting, because I didn't catch that myself. I'm glad you contributed that.
Honestly, what did you want them to do? What did you want them to be?
Well, I don't know. Again, I haven't seen the original Mad Max one, so I don't know, like, how... how much of
it
is in the canon and such.
No, that's kind of one of the things.
But, like, I don't know, I'd like more of it explained. Like, we kind of understand why that one guy is trying to get his wives back.
Right.
But, like, why are the other two town people helping him? Oh. And they seem irritated about helping in the first place.
No, I can explain that, actually. Okay. They, and that's kind of an interesting point. So the main bad guy, I think his name is something like Immortal Joe.
Immortan Joe, you got it.
Yes, you're not going to be able to, like, understand. If you don't see what he looks like, you cannot convey that from his name. He's some sort of like albino troll wearing this death mask respirator thing and like weird translucent body armor.
He's Bane's father, right?
He must be.
He does give birth to a lot of fucked up.
Yeah, they generally refer to him as daddy. Like that's his name in the hierarchy to other members.
No,
of the court.
I think those
and
people
he's like a
were.
God to them.
Yes, he's got to them, but so the other two main sort of bad guys, you know, the one representing capitalism and the one representing rampant militarism, obviously with his like bullet teeth.
Yeah,
the bullet farmer.
That's the whole family.
Okay.
So
So they're like his brothers.
His brothers or okay. Probably his brothers. Yeah. So like the one runs the gas town, which is where they must process and refine gasoline, and the other one. Who knows? He just kind of shows up. He's clearly part of the group, but
okay.
Yeah. So that's
a little
why
more
they're,
sense. They're still,
yeah. It's all very tribal. Like yeah. That's,
well, I have their names here. I have the people eater, the bullet farmer, the doof warrior, and the organic mechanic.
What?
Is the organic mechanic probably the doctor guy?
I don't know.
So let's revise that. This is one of those cases where it's maybe better not to know the names going in.
You want to know the girls' names? The wives?
Oh, sure.
We have Toast the Knowing, the Splendid Angharad, Capable, the Dag, and Cheeto the Fragile.
All right, so was Capable the dark-skinned girl with the short hair?
No, I think that's Toast the Knowing.
What?
Is Capable the pregnant one who actually did stuff?
No, I think
no, that
was
the Splendid Angharad.
Yeah, because when he first, should we do a synopsis of the plot maybe, like as we're discussing it?
The plot. They stole some girls.
Yeah.
Not they.
Yeah, okay. The Furiosa stole the girls.
So Charlize Theron's
on a gas rung.
Yeah.
I did really like how the other characters in her group were like, oh, we're changing course? That's fine. You're the boss.
Well, it makes sense.
And they didn't question it until, because
she's essentially, like, his right hand, so.
She's missing her left hand. You see what they did there?
Yes. That was unintentional. Also, I'm sorry for your ears.
Yeah, I'll
I guess it's just, like, I don't like stock villains necessarily the way that they played them.
Although if you have seen the other movies, like it's not there, none of them are trying to break genres, even though it kind of defined the genre of post-apocalyptic fiction.
No, yeah, I definitely see it definitely as being a bit of the genre, because it also reminds me of Jin King of Bandits, if anyone's read that. It's a manga or an anime that's really good. But it's another desert world, little tiny towns with their special things. You've been pissing them all off.
I guarantee you it's based on the original Mad Max.
Yeah.
Almost everything. Fallout.
He's a talking crow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crows can talk.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Anyways. So
it is probably, that might be what, like, I saw Jink first, so that reminds me of this.
Which, again, is another one of those weird functions that we get where you see the thing that was, seminal in all of these other genres, and it's like, oh, that's weird and bad. I've seen this done better.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Good. But, so opening up, like, we get a few minutes of Mad Max as a character, and we establish that he's basically, like, a raving survival animal at this point. Like, he doesn't really have emotions or thoughts or any of that, and then he very quickly gets kind of shoved to the side, and then
he's also constantly having hallucinations of this one girl.
Yes, I cannot remember if that was like a reference from the Road Warrior. It's one of the other kind of hallmarks of these movies is that there isn't, other than the first one, there isn't really a sense of like chronology. Like, I think the Road Warrior could easily have taken place before Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, if you wanted to watch them that way. So they're very much generally kind of, these contained stories, and it doesn't really help you a whole lot other than familiarizing you with the character.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're introduced to Furiosa, Charlize Theron's character, and we see that she's a champion of some sort. We get little glimpses of the warrior culture that underpins this warrior society.
They want to go to Valhalla.
Yes, they do.
And they also arrive like, the gates of Valhalla, shiny and chrome.
Yes. Yes. They like shiny things.
Indeed, indeed. It's very, very like Viking in that, you know, they raise children as these warriors, and something, either they're being exposed to toxic chemicals or there's just something genetically wrong with them.
A lot of them have like cancerous lumps.
Tumors, so they don't tend to live long. They have this like warrior mentality, and like it's all built around this like cult of driving fast and you know dying in battle.
Yeah, and that he's reaching the end of his half life anyways.
Yeah, that they don't really explain that, yeah. that at all.
That's why I thought maybe they were clones of some kind. Because clones don't usually live as long.
Although it is stated that they're the children of, I believe they're the children primarily of the wives.
Because that was their point, is
they were trying to get away from. Yeah,
well, I do see that. Maybe that's so many children then. Though.
Yeah.
And they had such taut bellies.
We did see the other mothers who were hooked up to the milking machines. So, like, clearly they're not the only ones. I think they were just, like, the favorites of him specifically.
Or maybe because, he also had, because I think a bunch of the sons, like, the people who were calling each other brother, like, I think they were actually, like, their direct... Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
they further had children with some of the other wives, and they became the war boys.
It's kind of heavily implied that there's some sort of breeding program going on.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, one of the reasons they were leaving, is they didn't want their babies being turned into death machines.
Yep.
Sorry. Well, we've got to talk about Nux, who is the war boy who ends up being almost heroic.
Yes. Yeah. Holy shit.
He almost dies, like, three times, and finally dies sacrificing himself for the...
Yeah, I did like how, like, there was definitely a lot of menace attached to his character at almost every point, because, like, he almost ends up catching them, and then it's like, oh shit, he's on the rig, he's gonna get them, and luckily he keeps ending up being kind of incompetent at it.
Yeah, that was hilarious. They had him at one point, like, he was talking to the main bad guy, who I forget what his name is, mortal guy?
Yeah, Immortanjo.
Immortanjo, and he's like, I will... sneak up and stab her with this thing and leave her breathing so you can kill him. And the boss guy's like, here's this gun. You just do it yourself. And then if you succeed, I will send you to Valhalla myself. Which means that if you succeed, he's just going to kill you. But whatever.
Right, but...
But you die by the hand of a god.
I know, it's I understand. But, so he spray paints his mouth silver, because that's a thing.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Runs up, jumps to the train, and his chain gets caught. And he just flops over.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
immediately
hilarious.
Face plants and loses the gun and then is just dragged along.
Yeah. Yep. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think Immortanjo scored like,
oh, yes,
look
no,
at this there, dumb motherfucker.
Yes, yeah. An actual facepalm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mediocre.
Yeah. It's actually kind of hard to give a synopsis because the majority of it is like they're trying to get to a point and there are obstacles and.
Then they get to that point, and it turns out not to be the point they want, so they decide to go back home.
Intense action happens constantly.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get to the green place, which is not remotely green, and Furiosa's mother, I want to say?
No.
Just somebody.
Well,
Furiosa's mother, apparently, her mother and her got kidnapped in the first place, and after 3 days of being separated, the mother died.
Okay.
And, I have to imagine that maybe Furiosa blames herself for it or something, because she's looking for a redemption, and I don't see why else she's looking for redemption.
Oh, well, maybe because she's been working for this awful empire for the last 10 years. But no, what's kind of implied there is that there was a much larger community, and the totally awesome ancient, warrior women that we run into, which I feel bad spoiling that, because, that was such an awesome moment. When these menacing bike people drive up and then pull their things down. It's just these ancient gnarled battle creatures.
The one pretty one they use as bait.
Oh yeah.
I don't understand. So she's naked up on a tower saying, "Oh gosh, help me," to trap people?
Like, yeah.
Yes.
So someone will come be like, oh, I'll help you. And then they're like, well, fuck you. We're stealing all your shit.
Right. Okay, either cool I'll help that. You or, you know, I'm coming to get you. But True. Yeah.
Okay.
And I guarantee she's not up there all the time. It's probably just when they hear, because on a desert like that, it'd be very hard to move anywhere actually quietly. True.
Basically, this woman's, like, where she was trying to bring them home to, where it was supposed to be green and lovely, is now dead and full of scary crows.
Yeah. Which could have possibly been the end of the movie. Like, that almost would have worked. But it was like, nope, we're going to give you a resolution.
There were a couple times that it, like, went to black, and I'm like, is there more?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Start again.
But yeah, so much action, so much shooting. So I guess let's maybe discuss Mad Max. What did you think of him as a character?
He wasn't much of a character, and I liked that. Right. Because I think in most movies he would have been, I mean, certainly Mad Max is the first two words of the title.
Right.
And you would think he would have a much bigger role, but Furiosa was a cooler character, and mm-hmm. we saw much more of her, and we got to know more of her. All we know is that he is O positive, mm-hmm. I believe, and he hallucinates.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's very troubled.
I would say, I think we know more about him than that, because he does do a lot with his, like, body language and mm-hmm. sight, and, like, they make eye contact meaningfully all the time.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, there is, I mean, maybe it's just my conditioning, but there is almost a little bit of romantic subplot between him and Furiosa.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just, yeah.
Definitely, but it doesn't go anywhere stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah, the way I took it is, it is rare that he respects someone else in this post-apocalyptic wasteland, True. But he respects her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, it's also clearly he doesn't try to feel or think about anything, because...
True. You know, he doesn't want to care too much.
Right. Because at that point, he's been, like, just a scared animal running.
Yeah. For,
True. Incidentally, I'm reading here, they already have a sequel completely filmed, and it will be out soon, called Mad Max Furiosa. So I believe we'll be learning more about her.
That's cute. So happy about that. I was kind of thinking about how, in a way, like, I would kind of love to see the story of the Citadel after, you know, its liberation. Spoilers and you know.
Yeah.
Holy shit. All right.
Yeah. If the liberation goes forward. Like, it does definitely seem to at the end, but I'm sure there'd be a whole bunch of blowback.
Oh, you could probably make an entire, like, you know, 12-part series about what's going on with it.
Incidentally, Tom Hardy has signed on for 4 sequels.
Fuck yeah.
Is that including the one that's already been filmed?
Probably.
I'm sure they must have just done it at the same time. So, Tom Hardy as Mad Max. He says maybe 6 lines the entire movie.
I'm Max.
Does Max. A really good job of conveying everything.
Yeah.
He does definitely
a lot of eye contact and voice things.
He clearly got a lot of practice from playing Bane, where, you know, he had to convey everything with his eyes because he couldn't hear what he was saying.
Which he does well.
Yeah, and I love that, like, his actual biggest sort of what would have been his biggest action sequence happens entirely off screen.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
and it's fine. I love
that, because it was definitely it seemed to me like, you know how sometimes, like, the episode ends or something, it's like, oh, you know how we totally beat that guy. It was definitely we don't want to figure out how he actually would have beat up this guy. Let's just say that he did and stole all of his ammo.
Yes, giant explosion in the distance, him walking up from the dust cloud.
Yeah.
You're covered in blood! No, it's okay. It's not his.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I have to imagine was, like, their one major concession to Mad Max fans, to be like, look, guys, he's still a badass.
Yeah.
Which he absolutely is, surviving this post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Like, when he does make decisions, it's usually for a good reason. Like, in that, he's like, go up, you know, a few yards or whatever, and then he goes fight this guy.
Right, like, get out of the way so I don't have to worry about you, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, at no point is he really portrayed as incompetent. I'm trying to think of how I was going to phrase that thought. You're right, he doesn't do very much, and he's very much kind of just trying to run away from things rather than face them, but when he does get put into a situation where he has to do something, like, he just does it.
Yeah.
But he's also not, like, really a complete combat god. Like, nobody in this movie felt like they had plot armor very much. Maybe a few times. He did have a, you know, crazy hallucination girl, like, periodically being like, oh, hey, you should put your hand up.
That was cool, though.
That was really cool.
So
he's awesome. Furiosa, what are your thoughts on Furiosa?
I like her. She is also, I'm going to go, she's slightly more stock warrior woman than I'd like. But she has some depth to her that I really like, how, like, so upset she was.
Yeah.
And she, like, wasn't what she was expecting. And,
yeah.
But she wasn't, like, crying or anything. She just, like, screamed and then figured out what they were going to do from there.
Right. She had emotions, but she wasn't, like, portrayed as being weak necessarily for having them.
Yeah.
And, like, she made a really great contrast to Max, because, like, his, you know, his whole thing is this fragility and you know, folding in on himself. And then her whole thing is, like, I need to do this. And I'm
going to do it, even if I've been stabbed badly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And shit, like, the first time they actually kind of meet, she basically beats him with one arm because her prosthetic arm is, like, off.
Yeah.
And he only kind of beats her with the help of someone else.
Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome.
That's a great fight scene because all three are fighting each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, like, no one's on anyone's side here. They're just getting in each other's way.
Yeah, yeah.
And two of them are chained together. It's pretty awesome.
So much good tension.
Like, I was definitely expecting Mad Max to just shoot the, what's his face?
Yes,
but
that
he didn't.
Was surprising.
Yeah, like, if I was him, I would have.
Tried to with the gun, and the gun just fizzled. He's like...
Well, I mean, that was when he was trying to shoot.
Yeah, even then he was just trying to, like, separate the arm.
I mean, during the fight, when he had Furiosa down with the gun, I was kind of expecting him to just turn and shoot the clone guy.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. But
he didn't.
No, because he just wanted to get out. That was all he was.
And he hadn't really chosen which way he was going to get out yet. If it was going to be with the women, who are probably going to die on their own, at least the way he'd see it, and, you know, going back and possibly being a blood bag again.
Yeah.
Or being, you know, hailed as a hero for returning the wives. That was before he shot one of them a little bit.
That's true.
But I don't think it's in the character of Mad Max to return the wives.
No, like, I don't think he cared until he was forced to. And even then, like, it took a while for him to actually kind of come around and you know, participate.
Yeah.
Which... it's kind of nice. Like, it's sort of a flip on, like, the old, you know, Western samurai movie thing of, like, you know, usually the indifferent warrior strolls into town and solves everybody's problems. And in this case, it was more sort of like, you know, he strolls into town and kind of really has to be forced into it. And then again, is just kind of like an auxiliary helper sort of.
Yeah.
So Furiosa, she's missing an arm. She's apparently like an elite driver for this empire.
I like to know why she's missing an arm.
That's what we have a sequel.
Yeah, we don't know what happened with her, but it must have been some shit.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to watch that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, she's a trusted, and, like, it is very interesting because all the other, you know, war drivey people are all boys. The genetic mess grew up, and she's, like, a normal person.
Yeah, so what must she have done to earn that place? Because I don't think, like the war boys clearly can't be trusted to do things on their own, so, like, there does need to be some sort of, like, you know, somebody who can think straight in command.
True.
They are idiots.
Like, I wonder if there are more command people that we don't see who are still at the Citadel.
But I was wondering about that. Like, there must be other Imperators, because it's a clearly a function of, or an office, you know.
Yeah. And, like, did the other villages throw out all of their war people at them too? Or, like, parties that are going to go after them now?
I think there were garrisons from the main convoy that was chasing them throughout most of the movie was the garrison from the Citadel, which is like the main.
And then there were some from the other two.
Yeah, the gas
town. But, like,
town
did those two
place.
Get rid of? I guess they killed both of the.
Both of the leaders, and really, like, the majority of them are stuck on the other side of that canyon in enemy territory.
So they did. All three towns just drove out every single fighter person they had to pretty go after
much,
her.
Pretty much.
That's a little ridiculous.
Well, that's the only, but that's also the only reason that the ending worked.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the other towns, now she's destabilized three towns.
True.
And only one of
true.
Them is she really interested in keeping.
But at the same time, like, they, I don't, like, it'll be a while before I think they would have to deal with too many threats. Because, like, the place they were in has the water, and that's the important thing. They had the water and the food. So the other towns would have to cooperate for the most part or be fucked.
But we don't know what they have, too. All we know is, like, this
one
makes
gas,
bullets, and this
right.
one has gas.
Right. But it's a basic thing, though. Like, it's
way... Are they pumping for gas currently? Like, is one a...
Maybe.
Like,
maybe.
I guess, like, if you think of it from that point, like, the Citadel has the water pump.
Right.
The gas one has a gas pump. The
right.
other one has a mining operation, I guess.
Mining or manufacturing,
metal?
Maybe.
But even if it was just manufacturing, they'd run out of metal if they didn't have mining.
True. But
or
that's
scavenging.
But now you're hitting at the basics of like civilization and why it's better to, you know, if the one tribe has all the water, they would ultimately still be in a better off position because like you can't siege them really.
Yeah.
Like the best you could try to do is maybe, you know, destroy it, but then you're killing yourself off also.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that I kind of liked about it is that there was an actual infrastructure to, you know, the horrible marauding like raider gang, because usually they're just like, oh, they're ravening hordes, but there's no way to, you know, like there's no way that they would survive more than a year because they
we
just slash and burn
everything.
They
don't
everything.
Do that with like the cave, the people in the cavern though. We don't
right.
see their, you know, infrastructure. I don't think they really have any.
No, but just the fact that there is infrastructure.
Okay.
Like clearly he's providing water. Clearly there is food there. Clearly there is a population that's being supported.
It's considered hostile though. Like who are those like little bike people getting their food and stuff from?
Which one? You mean in the
ones that
Furiosa
tried to make deal with?
Right, but because they showed us that the one class has like infrastructure, it implies that there are sort
other
of stable
ones?
Yeah, like stable tribal
okay.
regions. So there must be sort of other, you know, areas.
Other yeah, I wonder like about the other towns. Like there must be other ones because we see two bands that aren't connected to these three.
Right. And there is an implication that, like fresh water is exceedingly rare.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about the water wars and the gas wars and their everything wars.
So maybe that's something they can cover in you know, Fallout 6.
Yeah.
Do not become addicted to water. It will take hold of you, and you will resent its absence.
Okay, I'm good with giving your poor people water, but there are better ways to do it than to dump it directly on their heads where it immediately gets absorbed by the desert ground.
But Amber, they're trying to control the population and keep them at just the right level of, like,
then make
you know...
them stand in a queue forever.
No, but then you don't get the adoration. Like clearly, clearly it's all built around the cult of his personality. Like,
how did he assume this? Like, I'd like to know his rise to power. Mm. Maybe that can be covered a little bit in a flashback.
I do maybe a trough, then it would have the same sort of effect of pouring it all out. You could just have a long trough.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't all spill on the ground and become mud.
No, but it's also like a classic
and then they
symbol
get
of
to
wealth because you waste it.
Then you get to watch, I guess.
Right.
But if
you
fill
do
up a
raise
trough,
good
you
points.
Get to see them all like lapping it up.
Yeah, well,
like pigs.
Yeah.
But again, like it's you're pouring out this life saving thing from the heavens. It's I'm pretty sure that that's like the
you could still
thing.
Do that and just be pouring it into like
so,
a giant bowl.
You could, but clearly they didn't have you on staff.
Clearly.
All those townspeople, townspeople in quotes.
Oh yeah, the weird mutant.
Yeah, so. Were they
wait, which
born?
The ones outside?
Yes, the
okay.
ones he pours water on.
Yeah.
Were those born of the wives and Amor Tanjo?
I think they, like, do it on their own.
Yeah,
so,
I think that was mostly, like... Because
they were definitely male and female. Like,
yeah,
mixed.
I think they primarily provide... They probably provide most of the labor. Like, the
yeah.
the war boy, the children of the family were clearly primarily for the war cult. And I'm sure that they did have some sort of recruiting process for, like, taking healthy children from the rest of it. That
okay.
that just makes sense.
But what kind of labor would they be giving? Because, like, all the food and resources and all that was, like, way up high, and they weren't really allowed up there from the seamill.
I'm sure that they were probably allowed up there to work. Again, like, in that sort of structure, like, that would be one way to control
there's
things.
A slave
is like,
entrance.
Yes, if you're... if you're privileged, we will let you come work in the fields, and you know, allow you can use that to sustain your family, okay, or whatever. Like that would be, it would make sense. Again, they didn't go into that, but
yeah, that would be my guess. I did like the one review we had of like the farming thing, that it was like bales of long things, like hydroponic.
Apparently, type thing. Cool. I think there's a guy in Japan who's doing it, and he uses like this, like pink light. And it has ridiculous profits. Like, he produces so much food that way. He's like, I'm going to end world hunger. Yeah, it was in Japan because he's like, well, after the earthquake, we have to do something. And so he's invented this great way using pink light.
Yeah. So it confuses. Well, like my light.
Yeah. Okay. It's pinker than your light, Amber.
Fine. Planes don't necessarily want white light. They only take in a certain wavelengths. Yeah. So, like, the pink light would do that. So
yeah, that and vertical farming is going to be...
Yeah, vertical farming, that's what he does.
Yep.
And he wants it to be bacteria-free, so you have to go in like, a special suit.
Oh, but you need bacteria.
But then bad bacteria you don't want.
But then, like, the second that happens, you're going to have horribly weak plants being developed. Yeah, like...
And he's having good luck.
No, I know, but like, but if you've been breeding them like that, like, you're suddenly going to not, like, right, some bacteria will get in eventually and it'll kill off all except for the ones that still had some resistance left.
Life finds a way. That was not even a functional Jeff Goldblum.
No. You thought so much about if you could, you didn't if you should.
I do think I would like to do some indoor farming, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I like my outdoor farming.
Okay.
Though indoor, you can have air conditioning.
I just like that you would probably, it'd probably be really easy for, like, you know, a horrible despotic empire to just walk up to you and be like, hey, Amber, can you come help us with our agriculture? And you'd just be like, okay.
Will you give me a house?
Right. Like,
that is all it would take for you.
Right. Yeah, well, I think you guys should use a trough instead of just...
Okay, it depends how obviously capitalistic they are.
Oh, well, that's not capitalist at all. Like, it's that's pure, true. Pure monarchy. Like, there's
I might join in on that.
It's feudalism.
Maybe a little bit.
Like, okay. So, Hitler, have you thought about vertical farming?
Except if they were obviously mean to people in front of me, I'd be like, hey, don't do that. Oh. Don't keep breeding women. They are attractive.
Well, you'd never see them. Did you see the vault he had them kept in?
Yeah.
That's true.
That was also a pretty good scene. I don't know. I love how much they show you about the culture with just these little like details of like, oh, we're just going to show you. We're not going to tell you. You get to see it, and then you can infer everything.
To be fair, if I heard babies crying though, I might wander and investigate and then find out this thing.
Yeah, but then how would you, like, you'd either, you know, get sent to the slave pens or thrown in with the rest of them. And
I'll have already set up their agriculture empire.
Right.
It's true. They'll all be like, so Hitler, you should use ashes. Do you have ashes anywhere? They'll be really good for your farm.
Oh, no. Aww.
So,
that would make good fertilizer.
So this reminds me, Aldous Huxley, Ape in Essence, read it. It's really good.
Post-apocalyptic. I'll link it in the show notes. I have no idea what it is.
No, it's sort of relevant. It's the book that I think they should make you read instead of Brave New World.
I agree.
Because it's post-apocalyptic. Actually, that exact scenario happens. This group of scientists is trying to, you know, make contact with the mainland or another continent. And they come ashore and you know, the party's mostly killed except for the botanist who happens to be, or the, you know, agriculture specialist.
Mm.
And he gets swept up into this, actually almost exactly like this despotic cult that, you know, is trying to get him to help them make food because they're running out. It's really good. I know why it's not in taught in schools, because there's a lot of sex and it's wrapped up very much in like human sexuality and certain things. But it's really good. It's really good if you need to scratch that post-apocalyptic itch with some philosophies. And then read The Island and get super sad.
Yeah, not that it's totally on topic, but someone suggested a book to me called Beauty Queens, which sort of answers the question of what would happen if Lord of the Flies was girls instead.
Oh.
And so apparently it's really an awesome book. Like, a bunch of, I haven't read it, I have the book. And I guess literally like a bunch of beauty pageant girls crash on an island and they like set up a system.
Huh.
There's even a trans one, from what I hear. I look forward to reading it.
A little sexist, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the immediate concern is like how horribly sexist is it going to be? But it also sounds really interesting.
And I think, especially given when I read Lord of the Flies in high school, there's very much like, well, you know, if there were a single girl there, she would rule that place. She would just be like, guys, I have the only vagina on the island, so.
Well, or she would die slowly in you know, a rape camp.
Maybe.
But no, I think you're right.
Have to ask Eve Ensler to go over my script for the rape camp and see what she thinks, because that's what happened with Fury Road, is that they asked the writer of the vagina monologue, just give it a once over, give it a look.
And that has me intrigued. Like, I would be very interested in, like, a documentary on the process of this script, because I don't know, I still think the movie is really good. I'm probably going to end up seeing it, like, 3 or 4 more times.
Also think it was really good, but we were thinking then, because if you think about, like, gender stereotypes, there are fairly, like, except for Furiosa,
right.
It's fairly prevalent in, like, in this, well, even a little bit with her. Because it's like women are good, like mothers, all the mothers and everything like that, and the men are kind of like war driven.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a sexist.
Well, but at the
trend,
same time,
which
like,
again,
that's,
it's
an exaggeration of what you see already.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, given the society that those characters come from, like that's their literal role, is to just bring life into the world, and it keeps getting.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was gonna say. I mean, Furiosa didn't give a speech about how she's a monster because she can't have kids. So we don't actually know where she stands on
that.
Well, no.
They also called, like, the tribe was called, like, the All the Mothers
or something.
And it was, like, supposed to be all, like, green and happy and no killing. But at the same time, you can see then, like, they fuck shit up anyways.
Well, no, they didn't fuck shit up. Like, the environment changed on them and...
They still
survived. Like that was the main thing I took from it, is that they still survived and were planning on a future.
Yeah.
Like,
but like most women, they survived by using naked bodies.
It was clearly meant to, you know, play on prevalent, you know, kind of sexual stereotypes. Because again, we're humans. Like, I have no uterus, so I can't talk about it. But
positive male role models too.
Well, right. I really think it's awesome that they had the redemption of that one, like, war boy. Because again, when I first saw it, I was expecting that. Oh, okay, this is going to be the main antagonist who's going to, like, you know, follow them from place to place, and he did sort of end up doing that, but he also
joined them,
and it was kind of, it made sense. Like he'd failed in the eyes of his god, and then reverted to like a scared little boy, and
this girl is like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, it was
there,
and that was also kind of interesting. Is like, because they had a chance to kill him earlier, and it was made clear that they had made this decision that, like, you know, they're going to try to kill as few of them as possible. They don't end up sticking to that, because, like, you know, between Max and Furiosa, like, they kill a lot of people.
They kill everyone.
Just happens. Yeah, but still, like, clearly that was like one of their conviction points,
like,
and
they're
then,
trying not to kill people, but
yeah.
Especially if you think about it, because a bunch of these kids are possibly their children.
Right, which...
Some of them are, at least.
Yes. And that's, like, a really interesting point. Again, not having a uterus or any sort of, like, procreative interests, like, I can't really talk to that too much. But I do think it's kind of hard to talk about, you know, femaleness without including that. I apologize to you know, any trans listeners we may have, but that's, like, a part of female identity.
Or women who can't have babies.
Right.
They're monsters, Amber.
No, they're not. Okay.
Well, unless they're trying to fall in love with a big green monster, and then it's okay for some reason.
Yeah, two monsters bumping uglies.
Yes. It's fine. It's okay.
I'll link the Rule 34 in the show notes.
Oh, no.
Go.
Dropping that topic.
Fine. So, before we were recording, we did discuss how Furiosa could just have a flashlight on, like, a pneumatic piston, and just be very, like, bored, looking off in the distance as her arm fucked you.
So, and on Furiosa, like, another thing I kind of liked is, like, she, there was no waifu. We didn't have any Joss Whedon-esque, like, oh, I eat a carrot, and I'm clearly, like, a ballet dancer, but I'm punching dudes really hard. Like, she's very lean, but none of the fighting moves she uses, like everything makes sense. You know, she uses tools, like you know, she
hits
doesn't
him over the head with a hose.
Yes. Like, it's very, the fighting's very kind of visceral. It's
I really like Charlize Theron because, you know, she, I'm putting air quotes here, guys, uglied herself up to in Monster.
Oh yes,
like, she
no, that was amazing.
I mean, she's a very attractive actress. You know, I'm grateful she didn't chop her arm off for this because she's a dedicated actress.
Yes, don't go to method. There are limitations.
She's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
What did he do?
He's very method. Okay. In My Left Foot, he refused to get out of the wheelchair. He just pretended he had that dysfunction. I forget.
For like the entire.
Well, before too long, then he actually can't get out of the wheelchair. It's been too long.
True.
Or he'd need some sort of rehab.
Yeah.
And in Lincoln, he actually went back in time and got shot in the head by an actor.
Well, if you don't, there's no way to, like, really convey the truth of that, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, back to Furiosa?
Back to Furiosa.
I don't know. It's she's, I think, completely believable as, you know, the same type of character as Max. Like, Max is very obviously, like, a capable survivor. He knows what to do in all situations. She clearly has that same, like, set of skills, and it doesn't, you know, you never find yourself being like, oh, but she only weighs 10 pounds. How can she do that?
And, I mean, neither one of them are soulless or heartless. Like,
no.
They're doing what they can to survive, but Furiosa is really putting herself out to rescue these women.
Oh, yeah.
My suspicion is that she probably was raped. Like, all the women, I'm not saying, like, she was raped to give her impetus for her action. I just assume that,
well,
like, maybe she was a rejected breeding stock or something.
But that is kind of like, that's one of those, like, you know, George R. Martin-esque features of that sort of world, is that you just have to assume that, like, you know, sexual assault is the common thing. Like, it was actually a trope for a very long time, you know. Even Book of Eli has it. Like, most movies like that will open up with a group of travelers crossing the waste. They get beset by raiders, and the raiders, like, you know, gang rape the one or few women left and then kill everybody. And, like, that's a scene you can find in almost any post-apocalyptic film made, you know, prior to this one. It's usually their easiest way of being like, oh, we're setting the tone. Yeah. Also, we get to film a rape scene because, you know.
Yeah, rape scenes are so much
like
fun.
Clearly. I know, like, in the press kits, I know they were kind of implying, oh, you know what, maybe that is that, because I know, like, in the press kits they would be talking about how, like, one of the women was running away because she had become pregnant from a rape or something, but they don't really, like, that never comes up in the film. There's the obvious implication that, you know, these women are obviously captives, they're obviously, you know, held in slavery, but it never, like, that almost never comes up. You know, the woman who's pregnant is just protecting her child. She also, badass of the movie, easy, like, more than once, just kind of like not even recklessly, but calculatedly throws herself in the path of bullets and things like that, because she knows that, you know, the guy chasing them won't shoot past her. It ends up ending badly for her, but
and I'm grateful that it does, from a storytelling perspective.
Yes,
you know, she gets basically tossed under the wheels of his vehicle, and he runs her over.
He tries, he, like, flips over his truck trying to avoid her,
but he
fails miserably.
Yeah. And also, from a story structure, like, I kind of really didn't want them to be dealing with a baby throughout the chase.
Well, apparently the baby wasn't even very far along.
Two-term.
Well, but she was already having, like what looked like contraction
but,
pain.
Like,
she looked
might
like she was ready to give birth.
I don't know. Like, I think she was definitely far along.
Belly.
But, like, I think all the stress would have been giving her contractions, even if it was nowhere near her. Like, we didn't see her water break or something.
Yes.
No.
Neither one of us are vaginal Americans, so we will take your word for it.
Yes.
That we didn't see her water break?
They were the spokes.
Stress
will cause contractions.
Oh, yeah, I'd assume.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's exceedingly rare, but even in humans, you can very rarely have, like the body reabsorb a fetus if you know, certain stress levels and physical conditions occur.
And, of course, babies will actually take care of you in the womb. Like, they will send stem cells out to fix your heart if you have a heart murmur.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you could just control that reaction without producing another human being.
Well, I mean, we're trying, but, you know, those damn Republicans don't want us, like, you know, chopping up babies, because that's clearly the only way to get stem cells.
It's true.
Clearly.
It's not like we have, you know, a bunch of other ways that we could figure out if you just let us do the research.
Yep.
Fuckers.
Then I can make baby steaks, right? Without actually killing any babies.
And we can make steaks that taste like each of your classmates.
You can't even say we went to a dark place, because this is, like, our home. This is where we dwell.
That's true. I know. I was trying to... I kind of want... Yeah.
You kind of want a baby steak, looking right?
I do.
Just to see what it's like.
It's true. The younger it is, the more, you know.
Human veal. But we wouldn't have to hurt babies.
Right, because, you know, there'd be no reason to include a nervous system.
We really like post-apocalyptic worlds, don't we?
Well, they're...
I'm a fan.
I think, and actually that's an interesting topic even in on itself. Like, I think one of the reasons that it's interesting is, like, it's a way to go back to a chaotic world without having to turn time back, because mm-hmm. you can't have the same sorts of stories as Mad Max in the modern world unless you reduce it to this sort of, like, you know, feudal wasteland, like, because anything taking place in you know, the Blade Runner future, like, it has to be very, very small scale or conspiratorial, or, you know, you can't just have these, like, oh, I can change the entirety of the society by taking over the tribe. Like, that can't happen. You have, because, you know, there's a corporation involved and exoplanet infrastructures, and I don't know. So you almost get, you know, you can reduce the scales to a level that's manageable, where it's possible to believe that, like, one person can make a difference. And
yeah, in a sense, aww, it is wish fulfillment. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a horrific wasteland.
Right.
But, you know, man can make his own way in the world again.
Right. Yeah. It's small enough.
It's like the West again.
It's libertarianism.
Well, I mean, no, libertarianism would be like the roving gangs of marauders.
I know. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, and then all the...
But that's the wish fulfillment.
Right.
You know, people like zombie movies, because we kind of think most people are mindless anyway.
Right.
And now we can kill them without repercussions.
We're
encouraged to kill those people.
Yeah, actually, I believe one of the things, like, there was an actual quote from one of the, you know, men complaining online in one of the articles I read, where he said something like, instead of getting, you know, the movie we all want, which is one man with principles against many with none, we get, you know, which, one, that's a story that's been, like, that's all stories told up to this point. You know, can we have one that's not about, you know, the one dude punching a bunch of other dudes? And
Mad Max doesn't especially have principles.
No.
He's a survivalist.
Right. He has to be kind
of
coaxed back
into
being a human.
Principles are either Furiosa or the pregnant girl.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of another thing. I really liked how Furiosa, you know, sort of coaxed him out of his coma, essentially.
Yeah, but, like, it wasn't like she had time for his band pain.
No,
she's just like, we have shit to do.
Right.
Please help me, fool.
Yes. Yeah. That was a nice little side.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to tell his name.
Why?
So. Because then it's sort like the same reason you don't name
remember.
Your food.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
He didn't want to stick around. He didn't want to be important to these people. He didn't want to know their names.
Right.
He wanted to do what he needed to do to survive. He didn't want to have to care about Furiosa dying somewhere down there. Oh, Furiosa died. I feel sad. Oh, someone died with a robot arm? I think I met somebody with a robot arm.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Also, he was clearly kind of running away from his own identity also, because, you know, if people start calling him Max, he's going to have people outside of his head calling that, along with, like, the tormented screams inside his head.
True.
So.
Well, he could have come up with a new name if that's the issue.
Oh, yeah, like, you know.
Be like, oh, all these voices are calling me Max, but I don't even know who that is anymore.
Yeah, or well, see, like, if this had been the Mel Gibson movie, I'm sure he would have just been like, I'm mad, call me mad, and then, you know, that would be, and then there would be punching.
Because, listeners, they wanted to make this movie in 2003 with Mel Gibson.
would it have the same, like, you know, feminism type plot?
I doubt it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he would have thrown a fit. You know.
It's like, or did it originally have that sort of plot and just, like, that's why it got postponed so long?
I think, in a way, sometimes I think stories write themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, I did hear, what's the director's name?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I should know that. especially after that big rant I went on about how, you know.
Yeah, how you should know the director. Right. Of course, we don't even know the characters' names in this.
That's true.
Right, right.
Okay, the director's name is George Miller, and he is the one that directed the last two Mad Max movies, which pisses... I think he was.
Oh, really?
Huh. I believe... Wow. Or at least he wrote it. Yeah, well, he wrote it, and he was the director.
Okay, I was going to say, I know, he'd done... Like, the other movies he did were kind of weird and out of genre. Like, he might have directed Happy Feet.
Oh my god, you're right. He produced, he produced Happy Feet and Babe Pig in the City.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's beautiful. Lorenzo's Oil, he produced Lorenzo.
What's Lorenzo's Oil?
It's a touching movie about this oil that can help, replace a protein that this kid doesn't have and the government doesn't want him to have it. But yeah, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, he produced,
Interesting.
He wrote Mad Max. He wrote Happy Feet. He wrote Happy Feet.
Which?
And Mad Max. All right, it's violence in cinema, Mad Max, blah, 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 Lorenzo's Oil, Babe Pig in the City, Happy Feet 2, and then Fury Road.
That's so he took a little tangent there.
Yeah. He did. Maybe that's when he got in touch with his more sensitive side.
Maybe. But true. Now, on that point, I definitely could see this movie being written with essentially the same plot, but being completely different. Like, it would be very easy for that to happen.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, that George Miller said, well, if I'm having one guy rescuing these wives, that's a different story than if I'm having a woman rescuing these wives.
Yeah.
So obviously it has to be a woman, like, I the man, am saving these sex slaves from another man.
Right. So, no. Well, because that immediately turns it into a harem comedy.
It is interesting how much you can change story just by flipping a character gender. Because Furiosa could easily have been played by a guy, guy.
Well, yeah. Which is also another good thing, because it shows that, she's a character. She's enough of a character that, you know...
Then there'd be a slight gay subplot, which would have been awesome.
Yeah, I would have been fine with it.
Which would have been hilarious in front of all the harem girls.
Yes.
So, are we not getting any cuddles? Because
Well, yeah. there's
fuck
still...
you, girls.
Oh no, wait, he died at the end. I forgot.
Who?
The war boy.
Oh, war boy does war boy die. Died.
Yes, he gets his valorous
death.
Which is what he wanted all along, but time he actually got valor.
And
right.
He actually did it for a good reason. He did it for the girl he liked.
Right, which is why you get to go to Valhalla. But my point was, I know the MRAs were like, how dare this person ruin Mad Max? Mm. But he hasn't even seen the previous movies, and he wrote and directed them.
Wow.
Yeah. So he knows Mad Max better than you do, dude, bro.
Yeah, in really, it's been a while since I've seen them, but it doesn't deviate very much.
So there isn't any source material other than the first two movies, right? It's not like a comic or something?
There's three movies total. There's Mad Max.
Is there a video game, too, because of the little switchy thing?
No, we were joking about that.
No. So Wasteland is based, again, directly off of Mad Max, and Wasteland and Fallout, Fallout 2, etc. Like, they always include this sort of Easter egg of, like, you know, you stumble across a wanderer who's dead with an iconic one-arm jacket and a dog standing over him. And then you cannot keep the dog alive because the motherfucker is, like, squishy and keeps running into
Fallout?
Into
aliens. Okay.
Yep. Dog meat. Woo.
Aw, poor dog.
Dog meat will not stay still. He will always run through those force fields and get killed by a super mutant. Almost nothing. There are entire, subsections of game forums dedicated to, strategies to keep dog meat alive through the last level of Fallout. Because, you know, he's with you for so long, and you don't want him to die because, you know, it's your faithful dog companion.
Because it definitely seems like the sort of thing that would have made a really good comic. Or minigame.
Well,
maybe it will now.
Right, and that's why so much stuff is based on it. Like, even Fist of the North Star, that...
So, in a sense, you want Escort Mission the game.
Yeah. Although, you know what? After Bioshock Infinite, I could...
Acceptable.
I could accept, because, you know...
Or I want fast driving and blowing things up the game.
Oh, fuck yeah. A driving game based on this? Which,
yeah, I would love if there were still really heavy feminist elements to it.
That would be, that would be pretty awesome.
Of course, there are, you know, feminist elements in some car-based anime. No. Utena has the cold car thing.
So you're in the desert. You're surrounded by a motorcycle gang of horrifying raiders. And there are pink cars. And then you magically turn into a pink car to have a metaphorical race to some conclusion that's not really defined well.
Oh, in Utena? Yeah, it is. You're expanding the world.
By driving far?
Yeah. The world doesn't really exist so much in that universe. It's a very weird world. Dead people are alive in it.
Okay. Yeah. Alright, we'll clearly have to devote maybe next podcast.
Yeah, we need like an anime episode.
Which will mostly be Amber talking. Cause...
Yeah, and we'll just go, no, really, you're messing with
this. I have to just make you all watch Utena. I'm going to make an edited version to make everyone watch.
If Team 4-Star does an abridged version, I'll watch it.
There is an abridged version that was pretty good, but it only lasted like an episode.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. It was like, why are there these balloons around? It's like, because they're deep. Everything in this series is deep.
Much like Fury Road. There's a lot of depth in the scene direct. And I guess George Miller said, I will only make this movie if, you know, it's actually beautiful to look at. And it is.
It is.
Gorgeous.
Yes. The only visual cues that slightly annoyed me were like the ones where they're like, well, okay, we're shooting this for a 3D film. We have to have something fly at the screen.
I agree with that.
Those were kind of annoying, but
the colors are great.
Yeah, that's nitpicking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how they did the night scenes in like grayscale.
Yeah. And occasionally like the fire in the back, you know, because you want blue and orange. That's what your eyes like the most.
Yeah.
So it's like everything.
It's one of the things you like the most. Technically in art, the best color combination is black, white, and red.
Actually. Blue
and orange are a complementary color. So,
yeah. So ideally I want like a penguin to be thrown down the stairs, that will be most beautiful. And then we get back to Happy Feet.
Well, that's what you, whenever you see like black and white pictures with a single colorized element, it's usually red.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steven Spielberg. Mm. I enjoyed Schindler's List.
What?
Yep.
Schindler's List.
Oh.
A movie about the Holocaust.
I know it's about the Holocaust. I had to sign. Is it black and white except for red?
There's a girl in the red.
There are a few little cues, but yeah, like I had to get a parental waiver to watch it in high school, because they're briefly like, you know, naked people, you know, not at all in sexual.
No,
but when I was in middle school, there were naked people everywhere.
Yeah,
paintings of naked people everywhere.
Yeah, I was worried for a moment.
I went to Poopsie Day.
It's like, wait, did you go to Bard?
No, I went to Poopsie Day School.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing.
In high school, I know we're deviating a little bit, but it's horrific. And but I had a social studies teacher who showed us actual footage of Holocaust victims.
Mm.
And after class, I was deeply shaken. I was very upset.
Right.
And he's like, well, what's wrong? I'm like, well, I mean, I'm just deeply upset having seen this. He's like, well, I'm glad you are. And I'm like, wait, do you think I'm a Nazi? Do you, and I, like, at the time, I'm like, are you implying that I would be okay with the Holocaust?
Yeah.
And wow. I think he was just glad that it was effective, but the way he phrased it, I'm like,
I'm
offended
like,
now.
Right.
Oh, I had a teacher say that when I said I was no longer a criminal justice major. He was like, good. He was very sexist. He didn't like women in the criminal justice field.
Yeah. Which is why you should get your degree later.
Yet he taught ethics. Just saying that.
Cognitive dissonance is a hell of a drug.
He's a really bad teacher.
Yeah.
You could not show up to class, but talk to him in his office every day, I guess, and get a good grade.
Cool.
Also, I have a friend, this is off topic, not a friend, like I heard of someone, who had two classes by him, and one in the morning, one later in the day. So in the morning she was wearing pajamas, and later in the day she had been dressed up by then, and morning class was easier, and the second class was harder, but she got a much better grade in the later class
because she dressed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had teachers like that.
Yeah. Yep. I was actually had, like, Christina and I were discussing that last night about, like she was talking about a lot of her professors and how, like, Rate My Professor usually does disservice to them because, like, you know, the easy professors that don't really push you on things get really good reviews, whereas the ones that, like, you know, bust your ass tend to get bad reviews, and
which I hate, because some hard teachers are really good.
Right.
I think the hard teacher I'm thinking of, who is art history, she was really good and really just taught archaeology. She was good. But the other one, she was so easy and boring.
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of like a disservice.
Yeah, exactly.
Not making sure you get stuff.
Final thoughts on Mad Max?
Oh, God. See it.
I feel like if there was such a gas shortage, they'd have slightly more fuel-efficient looking vehicles.
Listen, Amber, those bikes can go for 160 days.
The bikes are fine. I'm fine with the bikes. I just mean, like, the war tank.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't she have stolen a better vehicle to sneak these girls out in?
We want them to be in hybrids.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
That's the thing, though, is, like, clearly they wouldn't be able to outrun them anyways, so she went for defensive stability over
speed. And just hope that she got away. I like the flare guns, like the poofs they made. Those are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to recommend you read Berserk, but that's not really related.
I recommend you watch Jinking of Bandits. Especially if you like Mad Max and you like weird things.
I recommend that you don't watch Tank Girl. Read the comic, but maybe don't watch Tank Girl.
I remember enjoying Tank Girl.
Me too.
Although in understanding that it was awful. Actually, Wham Bam Pow, which is Cameron Esposito's movie review podcast, they did an episode on Tank Girl. And
also, I have to watch it. I haven't seen it.
I actually think it's worth seeing. It's weird, like,
it's a post-apocalyptic Australian movie.
Yeah, and it also, like, had a pretty strong feminist bend. Like, there is, as goofy as certain premises are, like, it has some really good scenes.
No, like, I believe LL Cool J is he's a kangaroo man, right?
But also a boyfriend of the main character.
Yes. Not only is he a kangaroo man, but he's banging Lori Petty.
Yes.
My sister played a kangaroo in a play once.
Huh.
Did she bang LL Cool J or Lori Petty?
Yes.
Not bang, because she was probably middle school.
I think you're thinking of Ice Cube.
Ice-T? I apologize.
It's not LL Cool J, but it...
You're right.
Shit.
Wait,
it is a rapper who acts...
In CSI? Or...
Yes, it's him. It's him. Okay. Is that Ice-T?
I think so.
Rappers from the 90s, why you got to have so many Ice names?
It's true. It wasn't Vanilla Ice.
Ice, baby, Ice.
No, anyways, there was, for the movie, they actually, like, made and filmed a prosthetic, like, I don't know, kangaroo man penis that they had to cut.
I'm so grateful.
And, so, like, the, but, like, but it the existed. Ninja Turtle penises.
No, not as good. they didn't put the same attention to detail to give each one, you know, a character.
Well, you really have to believe in them.
The onion.
I'll link it in the show notes, and you'll regret it.
or you're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
final thoughts.
See it.
Or do we see do it? Final
I think we all agree that we should.
Yeah. Definitely.
Everyone
see
should see it.
So how long till this, like, slowly devolves?
Especially
into
if you're anti-feminism.
Review. Yes, MRAs, man, you were right. It made me cry, but, you know, I still have my cock for some reason.
Yeah, it was weird. It fell off, but in the night, it grew back.
So it's
It fell
it's
off,
fine.
I gave it a blowjob, and then I had two penises.
Wow.
I know, right?
Your mouth is like Jesus.
And now that's something you know about us.
Yes.
That I have a penis.
Yeah, well, two, you said. Now.
Well, that's because you're a woman. This finally empowers you.
Right. Oh, well, that's right. Okay.
And that's what women wanted the entire time. Penis women envy. Women want penises.
That's right, because, you know, what else are they going to do with it? Who killed the world?
Who killed the world?
I am curious about that. Who did
women killed the world?
What created this post-apocalyptic world?
Oh, it was
a bomb.
Accelerate all the worst case scenarios now: water wars, fighting over the last gas shortages, some people having nukes. North Korea specifically having nukes. Well, no, don't. I don't know.
North Korea getting the internet.
Well, actually, I think that would make things better because, you know, but that's why it won't happen.
Yeah.
Except for Kim Jong-un. He has internet, I guarantee.
I'm sure he posts a lot of YouTube comics saying, I'm awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly he just immediately became like the caricature everybody was joking about of him.
Which is so sad, because that means people in these countries aren't taking him seriously, even though in North Korea you have to take him seriously. Yeah.
No, or if you don't cry enough if he stubs his toe, like you're going to the death camp.
So we should really be taking him a little more seriously than we do.
That's our final thought.
Kim
Jong-un should be taken seriously.
Yes, legitimize.
We should take him seriously, so we actually like do something about him rather than.
No, that's not going to happen. China's going to keep them in check because they need them as like a little wedge to kind of destabilize that region of Asia, and we're not going to do anything because they have China's backing and. You know, it is the same thing with us and like our relationship with the Saudis. Like, we're not going to do anything about it until we don't need them anymore.
But we are going to make fun of him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For being short.
Yes. Well, being short and fat. It's important because you have to get both of those.
And Asian.
Yes.
And not a woman. Otherwise, he would be empowered. Actually, he'd be killed. So there's our final thought. Yay feminism. Yay Mad Max. Boo. North Korea.
Apparently. we are now all banned in our Pyongyang.
I feel good about that.
What is that?
the North Korean subreddit, like it actually will, if you say something on Reddit that, is anti-North Korea, they
ban you.
Yes.
From their Reddit.
Yes. Yes, they
do they is this a North Korean Reddit? Like, are there North Korean people on it?
Anybody can make a subreddit out of anything. And it is being run by North Koreans, and yes, they will ban you if you say something bad about it. But if you never go there, it doesn't matter. So it's
I'll try not to go to North Korea or the North Korean Reddit.
Clearly,
okay.
But bazow.
Bye. Bazow.